can find Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and then go left, unless you're reading a Hebrew Bible, and I think you've got to go right. I'm not sure how that works, but anyway. So Malachi chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart." And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do pray for Lyndall and Eddie and Donna, that you might heal them. We are thankful for Brother Lyndall and all the years that he served you here and all the blessings he's been unto us. We pray that you would raise him up and give him strength. We know that he wants to go home to be with you, so we'll just put that in your hands and you can work that out. We pray that you bless everyone here this morning that's taken the effort to come out and hear the Word of God. Lord, help us to be attentive to it. Help us not to be complacent. Help us to live it according to your will and for your glory and for your honor. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, he starts off this chapter here is that God has a commandment to his priests. Now, we in the New Testament, we don't have this Old Testament priesthood where only certain people could be priests. And as Brother Stephen mentioned this morning, we're all members in particular. In fact, we are, as believers, those that are saved and born again, we are a holy priesthood in the eyes of God. And all of us may come and offer offerings unto the Lord. Not in the Old Testament sense where we're sacrificing lambs and goats and pigeons and whatnot, but we can offer the offering of praise and thanksgiving. We can offer offerings in a sense that we have an offering box. You can offer things like that. Your service could be an offering. Your testimony could be offering. There's a lot of things that you and I can offer. And in the New Testament, it has the idea of all of us are priests unto God. Amen. It's not the idea of clergy and laity. Only a certain elect few have any authority or any ability to serve God. In the New Testament, because of Christ, and because we are in the body of Christ, and members in particular, we can all function in the body. It's not just one big mouth and a bunch of ears. We all have that ability. So I'm not going to say that we're Old Testament priests, but we can learn some things on what God did with those Old Testament priests and how they neglected their responsibility. And I want you to notice here something very interesting. He says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." Now, isn't that amazing? The Word of God is for you. I know there is a tendency to think, especially in a congregation like this, you hear a message and you think, "Boy, that's good for her. Boy, that is really good for her. Boy, I think he really needs that. Oh, man, I wish that brother was here today because that was for him." And I think that is a problem that we have in our lives is we hear the Word of God and we somehow have a tendency to think that was for the other guy. And no doubt these priests thought that's for them other priests. "I'm a good priest. I'm faithful." And if you talk to people about their priesthood in different religions, they'll say, "Yeah, that priest was corrupt, but not me." Yeah. So I think it would be an error on our part to read the Word of God and have a practice of, how do you say it, passing the buck. That's for them. I think it would be better if we read the Bible and asked ourselves, what is God telling me? What is it I'm supposed to do? Instead of what is the other guy supposed to do or other lady supposed to do, what am I supposed to do? And he says here bluntly, "I've got something to tell you. You come here, I'm going to tell you something." And it's not a very good message. It's not a pleasant message, I should say. It's a good message because it comes from the Lord, but it's not a pleasant message for those priests that are about to be rebuked. And listen to what he says to them. He says, "If you will not hear, And if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse you with blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. And if you go back and read chapter 1, you're going to find that these priests, and this is going to be my message this morning, did not lay it to heart. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to define that little phrase, that little idiom, lay it to heart, or they did not lay it to heart. I'm going to try to explain that so that we have a better understanding. I'm going to give you several examples of people that did not lay it to heart and the consequences. And then I'm going to give you several examples in the scriptures where people did lay it to heart and the blessings they got. So hopefully that would be very brief and that you're very astute and you'll be able to capture it on the first going and that you'll pay attention and ask yourself this or respond accordingly and say, this is for me. Right. I need to lay it to heart. So what is the meaning? After studious study, thankful to my big dictionary, the big one, the Oxford English Dictionary of the English Language. If you ever saw it in print, it stands about 3 feet tall. It has thousands of pages in it, and you have to get a magnifying glass to actually read the words in there because they're so small and there's so many words and they had to compact, and it still stands 3 feet tall. But thankfully now we have the internet. And if you have access to your library and your library has granted you permission, then you can go on the internet and search the Oxford English Dictionary. I enjoy doing that. And here's what I came up with. What does it mean to lay something to heart? It means to give serious, inward, and morally responsive consideration to something. It means something much more than simply to think about it. It means to internalize it deeply, cognitively, morally, willingly, not just to acknowledge it with a passing thought, not in one ear and out the other. Yeah. It means to receive a truth, warning, or act of God with serious inward consideration, allowing it to shape one's understanding, conscience, and conduct. It means not merely to notice something, but to take responsibility for it. It includes thinking, pondering, and meditating, and then putting it into action. In brief, failing to lay something in the heart usually doesn't look rebellious. It looks busy, confident, and distracted until consequences make the lesson unavoidable. So there is a tendency, I would say another word for it is complacency. We're really content with the status quo. Everything's going well. I don't need to be aware. It's all right. And this is exactly what happened with these priests. They were commanded by God to serve the people of God. And more importantly, in their actions, they were supposed to glorify God more than themselves. And all that they did, they had a responsibility of glorifying the name of the Lord God. Did you know that you and I have a responsibility to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If God sent down His only begotten Son of the world and He died on a cross so that you might have salvation and forgiveness and deliverance from sin, deliverance from the wrath to come, translated you out of the darkness into the light, if God has done all of those things, then it is your responsibility. Remember, I'm talking to you, not the one sitting next to you, but you. This commandment is for you, then you have the responsibility to give glory to His name. Not to yourself. And this is the difference between the gospel and religion. Religion is all about what you do. You're looking for the pat on the back. You're looking for, look how good I am. Look how faithful I am. I'm enduring to the end. I was baptized. I confessed my sins. I fasted. I did this. And it's I. And Christianity is all about Christ, Christ, Christ. I was lost, but He found me. I was astray, but He led me home. I was in darkness, but He translated me into light. I was in my sin, but He forgave me. It's all about what Christ did for us. And there's a big difference. Salvation is the gift of God. Thank God for that. So these priests, what were they doing? They were accusing God of not loving them. Now, they didn't do that verbally, but when God confronted them and sort of quoted what they had been doing, they began to recognize, well, yeah, okay. They're accused of not honoring their father. They're accused of despising the name of the Lord. They were accused of polluting the altar of the Lord and a lot of other things in one little chapter. You can read about it. Isn't that a shame that the priests of God would accuse God of not loving them? Would pollute His altar when they're supposed to sanctify it? They were trying to serve a holy God with unholiness. And God argues with them. Would your governor take an offering of a lamb with a broken leg? Would he be content with that? Would he take a polluted lamb or offering that you're offering there to me? Would your governor do that? Absolutely not. And yet that's exactly what you're doing. And brethren, let me ask you, are we heartedly serving God or half-heartedly serving God?
Amen.
Do we have a hollow obedience? And what do I mean by that? I mean that we come to church. Well, it's Sunday, I go to church. But we lost the zeal. We lost Amen. The love. I think in the New Testament, over in the book of Revelation, the Bible calls it lukewarmness. Amen. You're neither hot nor cold. You're just sort of in the middle. Some of you like your coffee hot. Some of you like it cold. Some of you like it, well, yeah, in the middle. In the middle. Not too hot, not too cold. Yeah. A lot of people, unfortunately, maybe you, like your Christianity not too hot. Not too cold. You don't want to get bored. But just, you know, in the middle. Not too much. No, I don't want great expectations. I don't want you to put any burdens on me. I don't want to have to sacrifice, even though Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I want to put a cross on wheels. Can I do that? That's what I want to do. I want a cross that's well sanded, that doesn't have any spikes, and I don't have to be nailed to it, and somebody else can carry it for me. Yes. I want to follow Christ on Sunday, but not on Monday.
Amen.
This commandment is for you.
Amen.
These priests handled holy things without holy hearts. Have you ever done anything for God without your heart in it? People come to act. I've actually seen this. People come to church because their wife grabbed them by the ear and said, you're coming to church. I might be speaking to you. This commandment is for you. Maybe you're here today because your husband made you. Or maybe you're here because your parents made you. I've heard that cry from a lot of young people. I'm only coming to church because my mom and dad said I have to come to church. Well, thank God you have some parents that care for you.
Amen.
Yeah? I strongly disagreed with the Polish brethren who had the mentality that their children did not have to go to church because they weren't old enough to make decisions. I just point out the fallacy of that problem. If they're not old enough to make decisions, that means you have to make it for them. And the correct decision is to bring them to the house of God where they can hear the word of God.
Amen.
You send them, ask your children if they want to go to school. Just ask them. The response is no. And yet, there you go. You're going to send them to school. In fact, you will drive them to school and you'll go to the soccer game and the basketball game and the volleyball game and the track meet and the swimming meet and the bowling meet. I guess they don't have bowling and meets up here in Texas, but in the bowling meet. You'll do all of these things for your children. But when it comes to the things of God, no, no, no. My children have to make the decision. Then you men, as the men of the household, do you make decisions? I believe it was Joshua that said, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what you're going to do, but we've made a decision. We're going to serve the Lord. Are you a man of God, leading your family in the things of God? Or are you not laying it to heart.
Amen.
All right, some examples. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Did you know that your land could become desolate if you don't lay it to heart? You neglect it. You don't pay attention to it. You walk over it. Do you know people trod underfoot the blood of Christ? That's dangerous, don't you think? It becomes very complacent of us, and we don't lay it to heart when we hear the gospel and do not respond. God's calling you, inviting you to salvation, inviting you to come to a son who gave everything for you, and you just wave it off as if it wasn't nothing. How did that happen? It's like the trail in the field. First there was this beautiful grass out there, and then you thought, well, it's not going to hurt anything if I'll just cut across the grass. It's not going to hurt anything. So you cut across the grass once, and you're correct, it didn't really hurt it. The grass sort of fell over, but when the sun came up, it went back up after you left, and it was like you never went through it. But then on the way home, you say, you know what, I'm gonna go across there again. And you go across again. And then the next morning, you say, you know what, I got there pretty quick, I think I'll just go across there. And pretty soon, that ground is hard. And the grass isn't standing there anymore. It doesn't pop up anymore. And that is exactly what happens with our hearts. Mm-hmm. Not responding to the things of God, and we walk over it and over it and over it, and pretty soon our hearts are hardened and we're wondering why we're receiving the plagues of God. Right. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The whole land is made desolate because no man laid it to heart. No man received the truth, the act of God, with serious inward consideration, allowing to shape their understanding, conscience, and conduct. God help us. Isaiah 42 says in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel for the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured out upon them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew it not. It burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. You know what it's saying here? It's like the guy gets bit by the spider and he doesn't realize it. It was a brown recluse, bit him, didn't realize it, and then he's got a big old hole in his leg. And he doesn't know why. Because he didn't lay it to heart. It's like that young man, he's got a little scab on his leg, and he says, it's just a scab. And then a month later, that scab's still there, that's interesting. 2 months later, man, that scab is still there, it's itching a little bit, I don't know what's going on. 6 months later, stage 4 cancer. Because he didn't lay it to heart. People have a tendency to neglect or overlook or dismiss the judgments of God.
Amen.
God, because he loves his children, he spanks them. I guess the Bible word is chastises them. And some of you are a little bit uneasy about that. You know, spanking a child. Yeah, when we spanked our children, you could go to school, and the number one problem in schools back in my day, when parents spanked their children, let me tell you something else, when principals and vice principals and teachers spanked children. Yeah. When I went to school, here's how the process worked. You disobeyed the teacher, you come up to the table, his table, and you got a swat. You disobey again, he calls the vice principal, you go into the vice principal's office, and you get another swat. Then the vice principal calls your dad. Come up here and get your son. And your dad takes you home, and guess what? Get another swat. So three slots. And you know what? The number one problem in schools back in my day when children got three slots? Chewing gum in class. Running in the hallways. How's your schools doing today? What's the number one problem in your schools? Yeah. I'm not dead. I got lots of swats and I'm still alive. I survived. But the problem is people don't lay it to heart. God chastising them, trying to get their attention. Did you know your daddy gives you a swat for a reason? He wants you to wake up. And then the children get the attitude, well, I survived the swat. I go back to do what I'm doing. Or mama swats them. They said, that didn't hurt, Dad. Look, if you're going to swat your child, it's got to hurt. I mean, you can't just go through the motions. You got to give them a good little smack. Not abuse for corrective measures. It should not be done out of anger. And if you're under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or just a plain narcissist, do not spank your children. But if you love your children and want them to be obedient, then discipline them faithfully out of love and charity. And you can be assured that when we receive the chastisement of God, it is because He loves us. He wants the best for us. And the Bible says that God was chastising the elect and they didn't lay it to heart. It burned them, but they did not lay it to heart. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1, the righteous perisheth and no man layeth it to heart. The merciful man, merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous taken away from the evil to come. Why? Because they got complacent. Well, that fellow over there died. Yes, he was a righteous man. Maybe some questions rose in his head. Why would God allow the righteous to suffer? Why would a righteous man die? Oh, well, I'll think about that tomorrow. I'm too busy. The game's on. And the righteous men were perishing and no man laid it to heart. Someone might build a great argument against God that God allowed the righteous to die, but you'll hear the answer here. God is smarter than us. God knows things that you and I don't know. And a lot of questions that we have, the why questions that we present to God in complaint, in bitterness, in resentment towards God, is because God has more knowledge and more love and more concern for our souls than we do. And so what we might say is a tragedy, God was delivering them from tragedy. That's what it appears to say here. But no man laid it to heart. Did you know that God is in control? Did you know that God could take your life? And it may be for your good. And also, I might remind you that God can take your life and it may be because He's mad at you. Well, those were some negative examples of people that did not lay it to heart. Do you think it might be worthwhile to lay it to heart?
Yes.
Do you think it might be worthwhile to take some time to ponder the things that God is commanding you?
Yes.
Commanding us? Look over in Luke in chapter 2. Most of you should know the story. We just passed the holiday season when they were supposed to remember this great story. That Emmanuel, God with us, God became flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, born of a virgin. Well, when that child was born and they're sitting in a little stable, some shepherds got news of it and they ran over to find out what's going on. And they got a vision from some angels and they went and visited the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to pick up that story in Luke chapter 2 and verse 18. And then they went about telling everybody, the child is given unto us. He's born. The one that's going to take away our sins is here with us. And he says in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, of all those people that heard that story of the shepherds, guess who was at the cross? Mary. Do you know why? She kept these things. She remembered these things.
Yeah.
And a lot of problems that you and I have as we get older is we don't remember. Sometimes I look at you, I've seen you 1,000 times, and I say, what is your name again? I can't think of it. Sometimes I even call you by the wrong name. Yeah. You didn't know, I just give you a new name because I can't remember. Did you know sometimes it's dangerous not to remember the things of God and what God says? Do you know one of the reasons we meet together so that we can remind each other that there is a God, that Jesus Christ did die for us, He did rise again, and it's worth serving Him?
Amen.
And the Bible says that Mary kept all these things in her heart, and then she pondered them in her heart. She weighed them. She examined them. Have you ever heard the phrase, count the cost? That's what she was doing. She was considering these things. And what was her actions? Well, like I said, when everybody else had run away, there was Mary at the cross. Look over in Second Kings chapter 22, Josiah, the king. The prophets were coming out of him, warning of the impending judgment of God, the dangers that were coming. In verse 19 it says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring unto this place. And they brought the king word again. Here is a man, Josiah, when he heard about the judgment of God, he humbled himself. He didn't buck up against God. Who's God to judge us? He humbled himself, recognized that the God is the God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings. He does as he pleases. And instead of bucking, he humbles himself. And God says, I saw that. You're going to die in peace. As long as you live, these things will not come to pass. What do you do when God pronounces judgment on your life? Do you remember when Jonah goes, I don't see Jonah here this morning, little baby here. Jonah. Do you remember when Jonah goes into the city of Nineveh, and what he preaches is not mercy? 40 days in destruction. That's it. But when the inhabitants heard that, they laid it to heart, and they put sackcloth and ashes on their head, and they beseeched God for mercy. And you know what God gave them?
Mercy.
Do you remember the prodigal? He leaves, he takes everything that he thought he deserved from his dad, and he runs off and he wastes it all, and he finds himself out there, a Jew feeding pigs. And I don't know if you realize that that is a big contradiction. A Jew eating or serving pigs, and he's eating pig food. And the Bible says that he came to himself. And he says, I'll go back to my father's house and tell him I'll just be a servant if I can come home. And he's on that trail and he's going back and he looks up and there's his father waiting for him. He said, this my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Let me tell you something. Lay it to heart. You find yourself in sin and wickedness and surrounded by hogs and eating the husks of hogs. Lay it to heart. Consider it. Don't be complacent and return unto your God.
Amen.
One more. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, This is a remarkable story, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. This Noah had never seen rain. He had no experience of rain. He went to the university and asked the professors, tell me about rain. They couldn't explain rain. That's a myth. There's no such thing as rain. But Noah, here being warned of God that it's going to rain, and Noah, believing God that cannot lie, said, I'm going to prepare an ark. Do you know what he did? He laid it to heart. Yeah? What was the definition? He received the warning of God with serious inward consideration, allowing it to shape his understanding, conscience, and conduct. That's exactly what Noah did. He believed God. He was warned of God. And he built an ark. And it not only saved him, it saved his family. Many a time that people that hear the gospel will say, well, that's not what my parents believed. I can't believe that because my parents didn't believe that. Did you know that the warning of God that God gives to you and that you've received, the commandment is unto you, that you might be the very one that leads your family to salvation? That was the case of Noah. And there's many other examples in the scriptures where people led their family to Christ. There's probably testimony right here in this room. People could stand up. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I believe, now my children are saved, or now my daddy's saved, or now my mama's saved, or now my grandma's saved, because they are willing to lay it to heart. What does our text say? And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. I think the statement is pretty clear. If you don't lay it to heart what God commands you, God curses you. God takes away your blessings. Amen. You had an opportunity to be blessed and you rejected it because you were complacent. You ignored the command of God. You did not respond accordingly. You did not lay it to heart, and therefore, cursings.
Amen.
And you can't blame anybody but yourself.
Amen. Yeah.
And we'll close with this verse or these thoughts. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, he says, God says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them for your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up, you shall keep these words in your heart. Brethren, why do we gather? We gather to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we gather to hear the commands of God. We gather to hear the words of God. What is the will of God? What is God speaking to me? And if we would change our attitude in this year and say, I'm going to come to church this year, I'm going to read the Bible this year, I'm going to listen to what God says, and I'm going to take it as if it's to me. I'm going to shrug off that bad attitude thinking it's for somebody else.
Amen.
I'm going to say it's for me.
Amen.
I wonder what a difference it would make.
Amen.
In the Proverbs, he says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's amazing that those that respond to God find life. And those that don't lay it to heart find death. It's amazing that those that take up their cross find peace and eternal bliss. And those that reject the cross find war and trouble of soul and damnation eventually. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes, it is better for you to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Funerals are really sad places. Nobody likes it. But it is an eye-opener, isn't it? It is a reminder that we need, thank you, we do need to wake up. One day we're going to die. And the Bible says it's appointed on men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, do you think these things are frivolous? Do you think that God was just, you know, beating the air? Do you think God has concern about your soul? He says he's commanding you, you're a priest. He's commanding you, he's telling you, lay it to heart. How many people have been told, do not text and drive? You even got signs. You go down the road, they're blinking. Don't text and drive. Your parents, you tell your children, put the phone in the glove compartment or keep it in your purse or keep it in your pocket. Don't get your phone out. Drive, pay attention. Be a defensive driver. And they don't listen. And you'll read about it. I guess you don't read it about it anymore. But you'll hear about it or you'll see it on the news. Young man killed in an automobile accident because he was texting. How many people have you heard that you should not drink and drive? Same thing. How many people have heard you should not drink? Somebody will say, you know, alcohol is dangerous. And I know, I've heard it, dangerous for you. But not for me. And every alcoholic said the same thing, and now they are slaves to alcohol. What happened? They didn't lay it to heart. How many marriages are lost because bitterness crept in? Oh, I've got a right to be angry. She did me wrong, or he did me wrong. It wasn't fair. And they didn't lay it to heart. And now they're in the midst of divorce. Online scams. Don't click that link. Don't believe that phone call. And you do it anyway and you click it. And next day you wake up and your bank account is empty. Why? Because you didn't lay it to heart. We brush off warnings. And it's one thing to lose your savings, but it's another thing to lose your soul.
Yep.
I don't want you to lose your soul. Christ came into the world to save your soul. And you say, oh, I've already heard the gospel. Good, hear it again. Pay attention to it this time.
Amen.
He's calling you. And if you have not been saved, you need to be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have enough grace and mercy upon us that you will command us personally, trying to wake us up and remind us to lay it to heart. May each and every one of us going forward in this year lay it to heart. May your name be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you. Amen.